Morning, everyone. So, continuing in our series on the Holy Spirit and mission, Acts 10 talks about how the Holy Spirit intervened supernaturally to spread the message of Jesus. So, the good news spread from Jerusalem and Judea to Samaria and onwards to Greece and Rome. But as well as growing geographically, God wanted to broaden out and welcome non-Jews into the kingdom. Samaritans, Romans, Greeks, Africans, everyone. So in Acts 10, we read about how the Holy Spirit did this. Now, bear in mind, there were no telephones, there were no sat-navs, there were no emails. How was the Holy Spirit going to do this? But, of course, the Holy Spirit is God. So nothing is impossible for the Lord. And he sent visions. Visions. And when Peter first heard the vision, it was Cornelius first. When Cornelius first heard the vision, he realized that God was speaking and that he should act. Now, that is quite something. Cornelius, we were told, was a Roman centurion, or we believe he was. He was in charge of the Italian cohort. And he heard this voice of God. Now, he was a praying man. Peter started talking about prayer today. And if you pray, you get used to the voice of God prompting you to work and do stuff for him, and prompting you and sometimes rebuking us. I include me as well in that. Sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes we mess up and God's voice has to speak to us. So there was Cornelius, a good guy, trying to make a difference with the people around him, trying to do something for God. But he hadn't heard yet about Jesus. So it was a really big hurdle for Peter, the disciple, to come to the home of Cornelius. I cannot stress what a big shift in culture this was. Peter was brought up as a Jew. He was brought up to avoid non-Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, lots of other nationalities, and he believed that he was living the right way by avoiding the non-Jews. So here was Peter, and this is a really big deal for Peter. So he's praying on the roof, and he has this vision of all these unclean animals, or rather animals that he's always considered to be out of bounds for him. And the Lord says to him, "Do not call unclean anything I have called clean." So I don't know, it just says in Scripture that Peter was pondering this. He was thinking this through. He was trying to make sense of this because all of his upbringing said something different. But he'd heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and he recognized the voice of God. And he needed something really big to zap him, to move him, to shift him from his cultural upbringing to what God wanted for him now. So God was going to say, "I want you to go to the house of a Gentile." And I'm sure Peter needed to be told three times. Do we sometimes need to be told three times before we trust something, before we believe it? There's been times when I have. So three times. And then the Lord says, very clear instructions. Three men are looking for you. Do not hesitate to go with these men, for I have sent them. So Peter was probably still in shock. Am I imagining this? Am I hallucinating? But he'd heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He set aside his fears. He went downstairs and he invited the men in. And then the next day went with them to Joppa. Oh. Now it was a big thing for Peter. But it was a great thing that God did. It was historic. It was the Lord opening the way for the church to spread beyond the Jewish faith and to everyone who was willing to hear. So God had to send visions. That's a big thing, sending visions. And then he had to change Peter's attitude to mixing with non-Jews. Each man was prepared by the Holy Spirit for this meeting. So Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He rejected Roman gods, although he'd never met Jesus. But he prayed and recognized the voice of God. God prepared Cornelius. And then Peter. We know God had to send this vision three times. But he was well taught by Jesus. He recognized the voice of the Spirit and he was ready to go. There's a pattern here. We see it elsewhere in Acts. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip was told to go to the desert road and wait for someone. And it's a bit like going to Junction 6 on the M1 and waiting for someone, you know? But he went. So there's a pattern here. God speaks and his disciples go. And they go to a place where they might think it was unlikely. And certainly for Peter, the home of Cornelius was unlikely. He was probably scared. He didn't know if there were people there who would attack him. He didn't know if there were people there who would argue against his message about Jesus. He didn't know at all. But he went. God spoke. Peter cooperated. On reaching the house, Peter understands that Cornelius has not heard yet about Jesus. And so Peter starts to explain about why Jesus came and about why Jesus died. And then amazing things happen. He talked about what Jesus had done, why he'd come, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Cornelius and his family and friends who had gathered there. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples had experienced this in the second chapter of Acts, and they knew it was confirmation that God had spoken. It was evidence that something had happened, because when the Holy Spirit came on someone, it was evidence that they had come to faith. And God had accepted them into his kingdom. So what an amazing thing. And that's in Acts 10:44, if you want to look it up later. So, remarkably, the Lord wanted non-Jews, people of all races, to be part of his family. He made this clear by supernaturally bringing together Peter and Cornelius. They lived some 35 miles apart. They probably weren't going to bump into each other. if God hadn't done it, if God hadn't brought the vision, if God hadn't explained the instructions very carefully. He brings people together that he wants to use and that he wants to meet. Now, does God still do this? Does God still do this kind of thing? I'm looking at Peter, he's grinning. Our Peter is grinning. Because that's how the Holy Spirit works. He loves all people and he tries to help us to connect. And it was the Holy Spirit doing it. That's what happened in Acts 10. The Holy Spirit sorted it. So we're getting the message. The Holy Spirit is at the root of mission. We can stand in the street and preach. And if God tells you to do it, then do it. Because obviously he's going to use it. But that isn't always the way the Holy Spirit works. He just brings people together. And the second part of what I think God's really put on my heart is that we need to cooperate. So we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It's like a partnership. Now, if Peter hadn't obeyed God and gone to see Cornelius, you know, his family and friends would not have come to the Lord. Peter went. He obeyed. And it's a partnership. What God then took my mind back to was the church anniversary weekend when we had a guy called Peter Butt speaking on mission. And the Lord said, remember, wake up, look up, rise up. And I cast my mind back, and then I looked up the notes that I'd made. And he said, we need to be ready. We need to wake up from our sleep. You know, in this culture, people think when you meet someone suddenly, when you haven't planned it, they think it's a coincidence. And sometimes I think that too. Sometimes I think that way. But we need to realize that God is on our case and God is wanting to use us. I need to realize it. We all need to realize it. We need to wake up. Stacy one Thursday had a further word on this about we need to shift up a gear. And that's quite a nice analogy. Change gear and move from being someone who, forgive me if you're not English, but someone who is not in the English culture where we say, oh, how remarkable, what a coincidence. We're in the God culture, people. And it's never a coincidence when God brings us into touch with someone, whether it's someone we knew already or a new person. It's never a coincidence. We need to look up. It's like we've got an antenna on our head that should be going round picking up what God is doing. You know, like a robot might have. And it's obviously an invisible antenna. But hopefully we'll all look very strange. But this is how God, he sent me this picture of a robot with an antenna. And he said, you need all the time to be on your guard and see what God is doing. And reject the coincidence business. So, then rise up. And rise up suggests to me like action. It's the hardest part. It's we hear what God is doing, we lock onto that, we cooperate with him in prayer, but then sometimes we have to take a step. And sometimes that step might be stopping and talking to that person for longer than we perhaps ought to with our routine in the day. Perhaps it's inviting them round for a cup of tea. Perhaps it's taking them for a coffee. Perhaps it's asking them to come to an Alpha course. Whatever. But that is the rise up part. And I am trying to do that with my contacts now. But God had to really whack me with it. I was a bit asleep in terms of mission. But this is what God wants. And it's not just in the early church that God did this. He has a plan. He wants to use us. I've deliberately not spoken for too long today because I was hoping that we'd be able to pray at the end of this and ask God to continue to bring us into contact with people who might be interested in the Christian faith, who might be seeking God. People that God has already started to speak to. God had already prepared Cornelius. And then Peter just had to go and be there and speak and share the gospel. But here we are, folks, wanting to be ready. And I'd love us to pray that God will bring more people across our path and give us the words to say, because he will do that too. Whether we're shy, whether we're people who perhaps aren't used to sharing about Jesus, nevertheless, the Holy Spirit will be there. It is a partnership. He speaks. He prepares people. We go and we pray.